Good morning, Cass Church. Last 10 years have been a blessing to be with you, and it is a bit surreal to be here with you one more time preaching God's Word. And so if you would please open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6. And you'll notice that I did not ask for the children to come forward, and so they will be in here with us today. And so if there is a need, a meltdown, some sort of crisis where a child needs to step out, just so y'all know, there is a room in the very back with air conditioning where there's some things they can do back there if need be. All right? Numbers chapter 6. And I don't know, I think it was mentioned that we do have a lunch today downstairs afterwards. Everybody's invited to stick around and eat with the church family. Please do that. And just looking forward to spending just a little more time with you before our family leaves. Verses 22 to 27, Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come into this place and worship our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Son. Lord, we gather here in this place as people who love him. There is no other place where this collection of people will be gathered this side of heaven than here. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can come together and worship you, that you have drawn us by the power of your Spirit to love our Lord. And today we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we open up your word, please lead us in truth. Give us ears to hear. And Lord, please give me a mouth to speak. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The word bless is one that we Christians will use often. We often say it when parting. We might say, "God bless you." And generally, I think that that is a sanctified way of saying that we wish well to a person in God's name. It's an act or a saying of goodwill. I want to see good come to you as a child of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I hope that you wish well and want well for the people that you meet and talk with on a day-to-day basis. But I don't think we generally believe that we are actually bringing blessing from God onto that person when we say those words. We don't think that in that moment the blessing of God is falling upon that person as we quickly speak those words in parting or when we're hanging up the phone, when we say, "God bless." It's just a kind of Christianese that we've gotten used to. But right here in front of us in Numbers chapter 6, we have something that is different. Here are words that God intended to convey blessing upon his people. Words that when they were spoken, that would cause his blessing, his goodness, his grace, his peace to fall upon his people and give comfort to their souls. During this particular time when these words were given, the multitude of God's people, the nation of Israel, they were ready to leave Mount Sinai. They had traveled from Egypt. They'd been delivered from their enemies, from their slavery. And now God was going to move them from Sinai to the promised land. They're going to go further into the wilderness. And it was going to be a difficult journey for them. It was going to be hard. They would encounter enemies, hunger, thirst, and ultimately they were going to encounter giants in the land. And so what did this people need to know? What did they need to hear more than anything else at this particular time? Did they need to be told that they would get physical provision? Maybe better weapons, more warriors, better shoes, more herds of cattle, well-digging equipment? No. God knew that what they needed more than anything else on their journey is whose they were and to have His blessing as they traveled. That was the priority for this ancient people. And brothers and sisters, that is still the priority for God's people today. What we need more than anything else is a reminder of whose we are and to have God's blessing upon us for our journey. So here in Numbers chapter 6, God tells Aaron, the high priest of the tribe of Levi, to pronounce the Lord's blessing on the people, to give it to the people, to say it to them, to speak it over them. And in the saying of these words by Aaron, the blessing of God would then rest upon His people. The people of Israel were supposed to know that God did not simply mean them well or want good to come to them. These were not words of God's mere goodwill towards His people. I hope your journey turns out well for you. No, these were words that placed His blessing on them as His covenant people, as surely as if these words were spoken by the Lord Himself straight to their faces, and He drops His blessing right into their laps. And there are six components of the Lord's blessing given to the people here. Three movements of God toward them, and then three outcomes of His moving toward His people. But before we take note of that, I want you to see something here that is repeated a few times in those verses. I know you've probably already seen it. Something is said three times, and it's the name of the Lord. This blessing could have been given just by one saying of who it is that gives it to them. The Lord bless you and keep you, and then so on and so on. But three times here, the Lord's name is mentioned. We sang a song this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. Why? Why is it that it's spoken three times? It's certainly for emphasis, is it not? To emphasize that God is the holiest of all. He's not just holy like everybody else. He is the holiest of all beings. So holy, holy, holy. The angels around the throne speak to Him. And here we have the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. He is the great Jehovah God. And we need to know that we are receiving blessing not from a mere man whose arm is short, his resources are weak. No, you are being blessed by the one who has authority and power over every molecule in the universe. And this God, this Lord, this Jehovah has chosen you to be His own and to receive blessing from His good and gracious hand. That's what they needed to know in that moment. Who was speaking to him, to them? The only one that is like this God, the Lord. But there's another potential reason that it's spoken like this too. On this side of the cross where we stand today, we know that God is three in one, do we not? He's Trinitarian, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so right here, as the Lord's name is spoken three times, it very well could be a reference to all three persons of the Trinity, each person of the Godhead conveying blessing upon the people of the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The first movement of our great Jehovah is this. He is the Lord who blesses His people. The Lord who blesses His people. He is the God who brings good to those that He loves. And on multiple occasions, God tells the wilderness generation what His blessing will look like. He tells them what it means to be blessed by Him. They're going to receive an abundant land. What does He say to them? He says it's going to be a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. I'm going to bless you with a place better than you have ever lived before. I know that you lived in Goshen, in the desert, in Egypt, and you were provided for there, but I'm going to give you a much better place than that. It flows with milk and honey. It produces in and of itself because I am there in my land. And you'll be a people who reap the benefits of that land. He says that they're going to have women who bring forth children, lots of children. They also are going to be abundant, and that is a blessing from God. The children are a blessing. There's going to be boundaries of their territory under his protection. He says, I'm going to withhold enemies from coming in and invading you and taking you over. I'll be the one that's watching over Israel. Yes, there'll be warriors out there and all of that, but God himself will be their protector. He will keep them from being invaded. That will be his blessing upon his people. And here, in this blessing to be spoken over the nation, he then says that he is the Lord who blesses his people, and he is promising to keep them. That's going to be the result of his blessing, to be kept by God himself. And not to be kept in the same sense that you store things away in your house for years that should have been thrown away. How many of you all have kept some things that should not have been kept? As we've cleaned out our house over the last little bit, we have discovered a lot of things that we have kept that we shouldn't have. And this was an opportune time to throw those things out. That's a passive kind of keeping. You didn't know that you were keeping it. You forgot all about it. But here in God's word, this is an active kind of keeping. The Lord is very aware of you and that he is keeping you. He is holding on to you. He is providing for you, protecting for you. He's not letting you go. So God is telling these people that he will bless them by guarding, protecting, holding on to them along the way. And so as they prepare to pack their things up, move out into the desert, into the unknown, into a land with scorpions and snakes, without food, without water. We have here potentially 2 million people traveling together on foot. Don't they need to know that their God is going to be with them and he is going to be keeping them along the way? They need to know that on the front end of their journey. So they can travel in faith, that they can travel in confidence. Their God will shield them from harm. He will not let their enemies overtake them. And I want to remind you of something about the particular place when this was spoken. These people are not so far removed from the golden calf incident in the desert, where they had Aaron, this man who was going to speak this blessing, fashioned a golden calf out of earrings and all the gold that they brought to him. They bowed down and worshiped before it. Said the people rose up and they danced and played. All sorts of implications in that word about what they did to celebrate who they said was their God. And so if there was ever a time in the history of Israel where they would have had some doubts about God's good intentions toward them, it would have been right here. That he might just shake the dust off of his feet and that was it. He was walking away. But no, right here, God is promising these sinful people that they will not be turned loose and that he will be faithful to his covenant. And I want to go ahead and spoil the surprise for you. But this is the same God that you have today who continues to promise to bless his people and keep them. You have been purchased by the blood of his Son. Payment has been made in full. And when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, at that moment, you belong to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told you that because you have been given to him by the Father and because you have been bought and because the Spirit of God has been given to you in your heart to love him, to trust in him, to know him, that you will never, ever be snatched out of his hand. For the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to hold you and keep you and never let you go. And I have to imagine that there are times in your life, like there are times in mine, when you need to be reminded of that. Some of you need to hear that right now. Your life is a journey into the wilderness of the unknown with its own scorpions and snakes and enemies. And then your own sin on top of all that. But here your God has promised to bless you and to keep you. Next, we see that He is the Lord who smiles on His people. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. I talked to one of our brothers here this week who mentioned the joy that he has when he sees his kids. When they come into the room, he smiles. How sad it would be if that weren't true. That your children walk into your room, maybe for some of you all it's your grandchildren, that they walk into the room and they do not delight your soul and your smile does not rest upon them. Instead, you get annoyed, aggravated, they grate on your nerves, joy when they leave at the back of their heads, but never on the front. So do you think that the Lord is continually disappointed in you? Do you walk around with that notion in your head? He's disappointed. He's annoyed. He's frustrated. Every time he looks at you, he can't stand to see your face. I wish that person would just leave my presence. Maybe some of you all this morning have that thought about the Lord and his relationship with you. Well, you need to hear these words. That God is saying that in Jesus Christ, his smile is constantly upon you. He makes his face to shine upon you. And right now, as you sit here in this room, you have the shine of his smile on you here. This week I went by and saw a man that many of you in this room probably have never met. His name is Jerry Anderson. Patty Anderson in the back, it's her father-in-law, Billy Anderson's dad. Until about 5 years ago, Jerry was around quite a bit. He used to cut the grass outside. He was always here. But his health has gone down somewhat in recent years, and he doesn't get out and about like he used to. But there's something about Jerry that has always impressed me. It always made our conversation sweet. And I went by and saw him this week, and it was still the same way. He may be 89 years old, but Jerry's eyes still smile. When he's talking to me, there's a twinkle in his eyes. You can tell it's made its path in the corner of his eyes over many years. He's got the wrinkles there to prove that he has often had eyes that have smiled. And right here, God is telling us that when he looks our way, his eyes are smiling. And what a blessing that is to know. And the result of his smiling eyes is that he delights to be gracious to his people. He smiles upon them, and the result of that smile is that he will be gracious to those that he smiles upon. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The man who told me that he delights to see his children, don't you think that because they have his smile that he also loves to be gracious to them? He delights to do them good. That's the result of the smile. And if you are in Christ, the smile of the Father rests upon you just as it does his Holy Son, because you've been joined to Jesus Christ by faith. You've been knitted to him. Your life as Paul says in Colossians, has been hidden with Christ in God. You've been connected to Him forever. And because the Father smiles upon the Son, He smiles upon you. You have His smile. And because you have His smile, He delights to be gracious toward you. Old Newton wrote that truth. He said, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." I'm always a debtor to grace, but God always delights to give it. He does not withhold grace from His children because He so smiles upon us. And being gracious means to give favor to. It's not a stretch to say that God does give or play favorites in the world. He does. And those that He plays favorites with are His children. He will show favor to you like any good father shows favor to his own kids. I do not hesitate to say for a minute in here this morning that my children are my favorite children in the world. They just are, because they're mine. I love them. I play favorites with them. Just like you do with your own kids or those who have grandchildren. When they come in, you can't wait to play favorites with them over all the other children in the world. And you don't hesitate to at least think it. Maybe you don't say it publicly, but it's true. I delight to help them out in ways that I would help nobody else out. Get them out of a pickle. Spend my own resources on their good, and even above what is necessary for my own children. They have a special place in my heart, and my face will show that, and so will my hand. And this is God's way with us. We have His smile and we have His favor because we are His children. He's not saying this to everybody. This is not a blanket statement to every person on earth. Not all are His children. Not all have His smile, not like this. Only those who have been drawn to the Father to delight in His Son are children of God. And I'm not talking about those who just hear about the Son. They've heard about Jesus with their ears, but maybe they've not accepted Jesus with their own hearts. I'm not talking about somebody who just acknowledges that there is a Son of God. I'm talking about those who have believed in and love the Son. The Apostle John says, "To those who have received Him, to them, those people who have believed in His name, He has given a right to become children of God." That is not every person on earth, though we would love for it to be so. We can't earn His smile. We can't earn His favor. You receive His favor when you delight in His only begotten Son. So the question for each person here this morning is, are you His? And if so, you are His people and you have His smile. This promise is for you. And individually, this is true. So you can say that for yourself if that's true, but it's also true congregationally as a people. Much of this was spoken in a plural way to the people. Not just as individuals, but as a group. So we can receive this today as Cazenovia Park Baptist Church as a people. God has smiled upon this place here in South Buffalo for a long time, and I have no doubt that He will continue to smile and be gracious to you in the days ahead. Lastly, He is the God who has His eye on you. We're told here that He is the Lord who lifts up His countenance upon His people, meaning you have His attention. You're never forgotten. Our Heavenly Father does not have mental lapses. He does not have too much on His plate. He's never spread too thin. He is the God who sees you. This literally conveys the idea that you are always before His face. You're never hidden from Him. And yeah, there are about 8 billion people on the earth right now. And in the grand scheme, you might feel very small. You might feel insignificant, easy to forget. And there will be times when you will be tempted to think that God Himself has forgotten about you. You don't sense His presence. And maybe your circumstances, even at the moment, they don't show much evidence that His face is turned toward you. Your feelings get dull toward Him. The evil one whispers to you that He has left you to yourself. But here God's word contradicts that, and He speaks and He says He has not forgotten you. You are not insignificant to Him. Do not give in to that lie. The Lord's eye is upon you. And He's not just watching from a distance without the ability to help. Because a man might be able to see you from a distance but have no ability to actually reach out his hand and help you in that moment. But not the Lord. He sees and He is never too far away. He is never too weak to actually help you. And so the God who has His eye on you is pursuing your peace. He's engaged in it. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and here give you peace. Now that's a loaded word, is it not? Don't we want peace and have all kinds of people praying for world peace? And we think of peace as being a calm, a lack of drama maybe. Some of you moms in the room, maybe you just want 5 minutes peace without your children needing you. That's how we often use the word, is it not? But this here is shalom, which carries a meaning far beyond all of that. It's complete well-being. You're totally well. There are no problems. Everything is right in you. Everything is right outside of you. Stillness of soul, contentment. This is the stuff of heaven. Heaven is peace. Belonging to God and being in the presence of God is peace. And when the Lord lifts up His countenance upon you, takes note of you, sees you, that's what He desires to bless you with. Peace with Him. Peace with others. Peace in your circumstances. Complete satisfaction. And Jesus Christ came that we would have that peace. He told His disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." That is pretty powerful. That Jesus is telling His disciples that He grants them the peace that He has inside of Himself, in His own soul. And you know, inside the soul of Jesus Christ, it's not like waves and rapids in there and turbulence that was mentioned this morning. There is no turbulence in Jesus' soul. Peace. And that's what His delight is to grant to His people here this morning, His peace. So the Lord Jesus lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And that is what we need right about now. It doesn't take very long to look around at the world that we live in right now, or just to watch the news, maybe even yesterday, watch the news and understand that we do not have peace in our world, but Jesus Christ has come to give it to His people in the world. Because in this world, we will have trouble. And your journey is going to have some trials. Some of you in this room right now are experiencing trials. You are. But Jesus promises to give you His peace in the middle of the storm. and Christians of all people in the world. Of all the people in the world, Christians should stick out like a sore thumb. We are meant to be a strange people. And we are. Things fall apart. And yet with the Christian, there is peace. You have peace with God through the blood of Christ. You have no fear. Peace is your inheritance. You know where you're going. This is not your home. You're a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. An otherworldly peace has been tucked away inside of your heart. It's the peace of Jesus, who's already at the right hand of the Father, and He will be bringing you to the place where He is, the place of peace. But while He is there, He has placed His Spirit inside of Matt Napo's heart, that right now he can have peace in this world as he waits for the next. And so can you. That's what the Lord blesses His people with, His peace. And the Lord knows that some of you in this room right now need to be reminded where your peace is. Maybe you're searching for it in your circumstances. Maybe you're searching for it in your bank account. Maybe you're searching for it in your health. And all of those things can go horribly wrong in this world. But if your peace is in Jesus Christ, you can have His calm in the middle of the storm and be a very strange person while you're here. His people can have His peace. These verses in front of us are known to the Jews as the Aaronic blessing. Aaron was the high priest who would speak these words over the people, and the blessing of God fall on them. Who is our high priest? Not a sinful man, but the God-man, Jesus Christ. And He speaks His blessing over His people. And like verse 27 says, it says He has put His name on us and He promises to bless us. Four times in the book of Revelation, we're told that the people of God will have His name written on our foreheads. He has marked us out for blessing. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And so as a child of the living God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the blessing of God upon your soul. You're His. The name of your God has been placed on you. You've been separated from all that is vile and evil and ungodly. You have been declared as holy to the Lord, a vessel to serve in His house and to be in His presence always. You bear His name, and you will receive His blessing. Not because you've made yourself holy, but because your Savior has made you holy. And today, your high priest, Jesus, speaks His blessing over you, His people. And that's what I want to leave you with today. That's what I want to leave you with after more than 10 years. I've often written cards, letters to some of you here. And I'll often end that card with words from this text, verses 24 to 26. And one last time, I want to say them to you. But it's not my blessing. It's His. These words are written in the blood of His covenant, sealed and spoken by your Savior over you, His treasured possession, His people. You are truly blessed of Him. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, Kaz Church. and give you peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your Son, Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, he is our High Priest, and he is the one who speaks blessing over his own people. People that he has secured by the blood that was shed at the cross. He bought us there at Calvary to always be his own, to be kept of him. He has secured us everlastingly with his own work. We do not contribute toward his salvation. He has bought us, and he keeps us. He makes his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. We are a people who are always experiencing better than we deserve, receiving the favor of God as his children. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us, making your face shine upon us and being gracious to us. We thank you for taking note of your people. Sometimes we do feel alone, but these words tell us that we're never alone. You will never forsake us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. Thank you for purchasing peace with God our Father. We were once enemies of his, children of wrath. But because of you, we have peace with God. And now we've been taught how to have peace with one another. May we, Lord, live that out by the power that you place in us, that we will not choose sin, but will choose holy ways to follow in the steps of our Savior. Thank you for placing your name upon us. We're yours, always and forever. And I pray, Lord, that here in this place at Kaz Church in South Buffalo, that revival would break out in this neighborhood and that more and more people can experience your smile, your blessing, your grace, your peace, and have lives that are eternally changed by what happens as they hear your word, the word of the gospel, and are transformed. Do this great work in the midst of this people here. We love you. We trust all this into your very able and loving hands. Amen.